my son was climbing a tree, and he got stuck in a tree. Like, not physically stuck, but, like, mentally stuck. He was only about 3 feet off the ground, but when you're up there looking down, have you ever been up in a tree looking down? It looks like 10 times, it's at least double the actual height from the perspective of where it, perspective makes all the difference. But he was up in that tree, and I walk up and I'm basically looking at him like from here to here, and he's like thinks he's so high up and thinking, and he says, "Dad! Grab me!" And I'm like, "No, I'm not gonna grab you. Like, you can do this." And he says, "I can't." And it, some, it, he eventually starts crying, like through his tears. He said, "I can't." And I tell him, "Look, I am here with you. And if you fall, I'm gonna catch you. Nothing bad is gonna happen to you. Just get down the tree. Listen to what I tell you, where to put your feet, and just listen to me and trust me." And he says, "I can't." And I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me." And this goes on for literally 45 minutes. That, and you know, I'm like, just, and I won't give in. I'm saying, "You can do this. I'm right here." And we have neighbors driving by, and I'm like, "Hey." Eventually, he decides to believe me. And I say, "Okay, put this foot right there." And he finally does it. And with 2 steps, he's down out of the tree. And then he looks back at his tree, and his eyes go up because he's expecting it's like this high, and it's like right there. And he goes, he's laughing, partly because it's just funny, and partly because he's so embarrassed and wish that he had just trusted my presence right from the beginning. It reminds me of a guy named Gideon, who, from the book of Judges, God called him and asked him to obey him. And Gideon said, "I can't." And God was like, "I can. Just trust me." And we go through this painfully long, agonizing process in Judges chapter 6 of Gideon coming to terms where he can believe that even though I can't, I know God can. And I wonder if you can relate to Gideon. Put yourself in Gideon's shoes. Imagine we're going through these cycles in Judges. And imagine God calls you out and says, "I want you to be the next judge." Wouldn't that be kind of scary? And you might be tempted to say, "But I can't do that." Now, let me put it in today's terms. In fact, let's do it this way. I want all of you to close your eyes and sort of think about this before the Lord, okay? Prayerfully think through this with me. The question for you that I want you to ask the Lord, here's a question. What is your "I can't"? What is the thing that the Lord has asked you to do that you've said, "I can't"? Just ask Him that right now. Now, what are some of the excuses that you have given to God to describe, to explain to Him why you can't? Maybe it's that you're too scared or too weak, or people are going to think this about me if I do that. What are some of the excuses that you give to God? And now I want you to imagine, what if you really believe this truth, that God is with you and He can do it through you? What if you really believe that? How would that transform how you approach this problem? Lord God, will you take, maybe it's a specific thing that you've asked us to do, will you keep that in the forefront of our mind as we go through this passage and look at how Gideon said, basically, in so many words, "I can't," and you had to keep telling him, "Look, I can do it through you." I pray that whatever it is we're afraid of, that, Lord, you would help us to believe when you say that you can do it through us, that you really can. And I pray that you would transform our fear into courage that's based on you. And teach us to believe it through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. and look at Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And chapter 6 is about Gideon the scaredy one. Now, I tried to make that rhyme, right? Gideon the scaredy one didn't work. Okay, so chapter 6 is Gideon. And look at verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. What words stick out to you from that verse? Okay, before that, what happened? They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. That's sin, right? And then he did what, Luke?
He delivered.
Delivered them over. That's the punishment. We're going, here we go. We're getting sucked into this cycle again. And then these Midianites, they came on like these camel raids with these fast like camels. And they come and they take all of their crops and their livestock and destroyed everything. And so it says in verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. What do you see there?
They cried out.
Here we go. We're going around, making our way around. And then look at verse 11. Here's the question again. When we cry out to God, does he hear us?
Yes.
Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. Okay, so see what happened? They cried out and God sent a deliverer. Who's the next deliverer?
Gideon.
Gideon, son of Joash. Gideon, okay? Now, why? Look what Gideon was doing. Threshing wheat in, not on the threshing floor, but in a winepress. Why is he doing that? Yeah.
Because the Midianites won't look in the wine press for wheat.
Yeah, he's hiding it so that they're not going to get their stuff, right? Now, something you need to know about Gideon is he struggles with low self-esteem. And probably like some of you do, that there's certain ways that you don't think you're very awesome, and you are awesome. There may be ways that when you compare yourself to other people that you have certain insecurities. And kind of like Gideon, he might think of himself as kind of a loser or a weakling. And you might have labels that are untrue that you put on yourself like that. Now, what I love about this is listen to what God calls Gideon. This is truth. He says in verse 12, when the angel of the Lord, by the way, when it says angel of the Lord, that's Jesus before he's Jesus. That's the Son of God before he comes into human form. So the Son of God says to him, he appeared to Gideon and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. That's what God calls Gideon. Wouldn't that be cool for God to point at you and say, mighty warrior? And that's what the true identity of this guy is. Gideon is a mighty warrior, says God. So, the problem is that Gideon isn't believing it yet. So listen to what he says in verse 13. Pardon me, my Lord, which is kind of like, excuse me, like, I don't believe you yet. Pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. He says, look, messenger, whoever you are, if the Lord is with us, why are we getting beat down by the Midianites? And nobody's parting the Red Seas for us. God has abandoned us, is what he says. Is that true? But how? Why then are they getting beat down?
Because
he didn't see God.
Because they did evil.
They did evil, right? And God's about to deliver them. Sometimes we have a hard time with God's timing. And if we don't see him immediately, we go, where have you gone? You left us. If we don't see him at work. But he's never left any of us. He's always there. He's never abandoned any of us and never will. But Gideon is still processing this and trying to figure out who he is and what God can do through him. And God just repeats truth to him. Look at verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" I love that. Okay, what is God telling Gideon should be the source of his courage?
That he's sending him?
Yeah, that he's sending him in what?
His strength,
right? God's saying, look, if I'm sending you, don't you think I'm going to give you my power too? And I love that he says, go in the strength that you have. Which means the strength that you have, when God comes and helps you, is enough. What you have is enough when God works through you. Don't ever look at yourself and think, I don't have enough. I can't do what God's asked me to do. Bull. The strength that you have is enough when God is in you and works through you. So now, Gideon understands and says, yes, Lord, I'll go wherever you want. No, not quite yet. Look at verse 15. Pardon me, my Lord. Again, he says, excuse me, Gideon replied, but how? How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Okay, what's he doing wrong? Yeah, Luke.
It's like doubting the Lord.
Doubting the Lord. What else? Yeah.
He's like looking at his own strength and not the Lord's, like...
That's right. He's focusing on himself. Notice the pronouns there where he says, I. He's looking at me, at himself and saying, I can't do this. Well, you're right. But God can do it through you. So listen to how the Lord responds in 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Okay, so what is the Lord repeating here? What is he trying to remind him of? Yeah, he's with him. It's his presence. He's like, look, you can if I'm with you. He's reminding him of the source of strength is his presence. Look at verse 17. How is Gideon going to reply? Is he finally going to say, okay, I believe you? Not quite. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Okay? So instead of believing what God said, he said, hey, I'll believe you if you give me a sign. He's not believing the word. He wants to believe the sign. He's saying, prove it to me. Saying that to God. And what's remarkable is God's response. He says, okay, I will wait. So not only is he saying, I will wait for this offering, but he's also saying, I will wait for you to believe. He's so patient. Now look at verses 20 through 24, what happens here is Gideon brings this offering, and God sends fire that flares up on the rock and consumes it, and that proves his presence. And that's when Gideon starts to put the pieces together. It says that's when he finally knew he was face to face with the Lord. So now he asked for a sign. God showed him a sign, even though he didn't have to. So now, here's where it's about to get real. Because up until now, God has been kind of generic, like saying, I'm going to use you. Now he's going to tell him specifically what I want you to do. Listen to what he says in 25. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, and tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering. Okay, what do you learn about Gideon's dad Joash in this? He doesn't believe in the Lord. He's worshiping idols. He's got this big Here's what it would be like. Imagine that your dad punts the faith and says, forget about Jesus, and has this big Buddha statue, and he's teaching all your friends and families to say, and church friends to say, forget about Jesus. I want to teach y'all about Buddha, and I want to teach y'all how to worship him, or how to follow the ways of Buddha. And then imagine that God said to you, and said, I want you to go tear down your father's altar and use the materials to build an altar to the Lord. Would that be a little scary? Especially whenever everybody in the town loves your dad and loves what he's doing, and you go down and tear it down, you might die if you do that. And that's what God asked him to do. And notice in verse 27, so, I love this part, Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. Blessed obedience. He hears the word of the Lord. He processes through some fear. And then he goes, okay, here goes. And he obeys. Now, notice when he obeyed, it says, he did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. So he did take a stand. When even his own family wasn't being faithful to the Lord. And he said, Lord, if you ask me to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't care if anybody else around me is doing it. I'm going to stand for what's right. And he was completely courageous with no fear, right?
No.
How do you know that?
He did it at night.
He did it at night, right? So he's still dealing with some fear, right? Now look at what happens, the aftermath. Look at verse 28. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The people of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son, he must die, because he broke down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Okay, now is the moment of truth, where we're going to find out how is this going to pan out for him. He stepped out in faith and obeyed the Lord, even though he was terrified. And now we're going to find out, how's his dad going to respond? We already know how the townspeople have responded. They want to kill him. How's his dad going to respond? And now picture this. They're all headed for Gideon, and Joash steps out in front of Gideon like a shield and says this. Verse 31, but Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. I love it. Do you see what happened? What just happened to Joash?
He was converted.
Repentance! Conversion! From worship of Baal to worship of God. And his son, taking a step of obedience, was the spark for his repentance and faith. Did you know that if you step out in faith and obey and do something scary for the Lord, that it's going to have an effect on people around you? If there's people in sin around you, you might be the one that is the catalyst to bring about repentance in their life. And Joash flipped and he said, I'm going to kill y'all. You're not going to kill my son. Son? So, verse 34. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon and he blew a trumpet. He called everybody to arms. They're ready to go to battle. And look, the Spirit of the Lord came on him. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on someone, that's when they start doing crazy stuff. Crazy good stuff for the Lord. And so now, he's ready to do some serious damage. And he's not only stepped out, he's not only kind of gone back and forth with the Lord and then finally believed him and stepped out in faith, and then God proved himself not only through a sign but also rescuing him by flipping his dad. So now there's no way Gideon still has doubts. The Lord has proved himself, right? So he's ready to go, right? Okay, look at 36. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, then look, I'll place a wool fleece on the threshing floor, and if there's dew only on the fleece, and all on the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. Okay, you see what he just did there?
Yeah.
What did he do?
He tested God.
He wants confirmation. He's asking for another sign. How much does God have to dance for him to finally believe? And gosh, look at how verse 36 starts again. Gideon said to God, if means there's a question. If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised. So look, God made a promise. And he says, if you're going to follow through on your promise, that should be the end of the sentence right there. There should be like, if you are going to fulfill your promise. Oh, wait. Yeah, you always fulfill your promises. I'm sorry, where do you want me to go? But it says, if you're going to fulfill your promise, then make this fleece wet and the ground around it dry when I wake up in the morning. Then I'll know for sure, for sure, for sure. And what's amazing is what the Lord does. He doesn't go, forget you, boom, you're dead, zapping like a bug for his lack of faith. He doesn't do that. Look at what he does, verse 38. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. So now, God proved himself again. So Gideon's ready to go, right? So he's like, man, I asked God to do something. He did it for me. Now, wait a minute. Maybe there's a scientific, natural explanation for the work that God just did. Do we do that sometimes? Do we sometimes doubt God's miracles and try to come up with natural explanations? Mm-hmm. That was probably just chance. Because really, there's the material in the fleece probably attracted the dew in a way that the ground around. So maybe just one more little test. So look at what he says in verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time, can you flip it? This time, can you make the fleece dry and let the ground all around it be covered with dew? And that night, God did not strike him dead for his continued belligerence and lack of faith. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. What an exhausting back and forth of God saying, you're a mighty warrior. I am with you. I'm going to do something with you. And Gideon continuing to say, I don't know. I'm not sure I can. My family's small and I'm weak. And he continues to doubt. It's this back and forth that kind of reads kind of like a play. When you see this person says this and then this person says this, you look, starting in verse 12, each verse is Gideon saying something and then God saying something. And Gideon saying something and then God saying something. Look, it plays out. Oh yeah, let me show you. I found more photographs of how it played out. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you all that. So here's, this is Gideon putting out the fleece and saying, God, please make the fleece wet. And so the next day, it was soaking wet, so he wrung it out and got a bowl full of water. God did what he said, but he wasn't ready yet. He needed to ask him for one more test. So put the fleece out, and God came that night, and that's how he did it. He watered all around it, and then in the morning, you can see there's water all around it, and that's dry. That's how the Lord did it. So glad I found that photo. So look back at verse 12. Look at verse 12. God said, look, let me just boil it down like this. You can look at your Bible if you want to, or you can look at the summary up here if you want to. He says, God says, I am with you. You are a mighty warrior. And then Gideon responds like we do sometimes. And he says, excuse me, but where are you? I don't see you. And then the next verse, God says, the strength you have is enough, and I am sending you. And then Gideon says, excuse me, but how? I'm too small. Very next verse, God says again, I will be with you, and I will fight for you. Next verse. Yeah, but show me a sign. Next verse. I will wait for you. And don't be afraid. Then he responds, look, in verse 35, a little bit later, I know you promised, but give me just one more sign. And he does that twice. That's the fleece, okay? And this does, it doesn't say it like this, but essentially, by his action, God's like, okay, fine. Now, I can summarize this and distill it even more, and it helps clarify, and I hope personalize it for you, that sometimes you can relate to this conversation with God. When God asks you to do something that you don't want to do, that you know He wants you to do, that's kind of scary for you, it plays out in my head, and maybe yours too, and in my heart, very much like this. And if I summarize it, it's like this. God says, I can. And we say, I can't. And He says, I can. And we say, but I can't. And He says, yeah, but I can. And we say, but I can't. And He says, but I can. And we go back and forth with God. And the truth is, it has nothing to do with you and I and what we can bring to the table. It's, are you going to believe that God is with you and that He can do anything through you? If He's asked you to do it, He's going to do it through you. We can believe Him. Let me ask you this. What does this story tell you about the Lord?
He's patient.
Amen, brother. He's so patient. You see this back and forth? Raise your hand if you can say that you have had a conversation with the Lord that's a little bit back and forth like that in your head and in your heart. I know I have. And the Lord is so patient with us. One of my favorite verses is Mark 9:24. And that's in the middle of this story where this guy is asking Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus says, I will if you'll believe. And the guy says, I believe, but help my unbelief. Which means, I believe what you're saying, but I don't believe all the way. I have faith, but it's not perfect faith. And God, and Jesus, instead of saying, how dare you not believe me all the way, He actually heals his son. And He doesn't rebuke him, He just heals his son. So look, your faith, your courage, doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to have faith in the one who is perfect. And He is in you. And He's so patient with us. So look, if this was what I love. Whenever you're stuck in a tree, okay? In whatever way that means for your life, there's something that God's asking you to do and you just keep saying, no, I can't. It's too hard. And He says, look, I can. I'm right here. I'm with you. And I'm asking you to do it and I'm going to be the power in you to carry it out. And when we go back and forth with Him, He's so patient. He's so patient, and you can't exhaust His patience. He'll never give up on you, and He'll never give up on me. His love never fails. However, you don't have to keep putting the fleece out. Why would you, if you know who He is and believe in His power in you? Jesus says, blessed are they who believe without seeing. We can skip that step and just believe the Lord and take Him at His word. Bow your heads. Again, I'm going to ask you, what is your I can't? Take it to the Lord right now, and I want you to hear Him saying to you, yeah, but I can. You know what it is that the Lord is asking of you. I don't need to give examples. Listen to the Spirit of the Lord in you. And hear Him say, I can. Lord Jesus, help us to not go back and forth with You. I pray that you would help us to just believe your word. Believe your promises. Believe your power and your presence. And know that you can do it. You can deliver us. And it's by your might and your power and for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.